Harih Om
Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 100. Prahlad Maharaj continued, therefore, while in material existence, bhavam ashrita, a person fully competent to distinguish right from wrong must endeavor to achieve the highest goal of life as long as the body is stout and strong and is not embarrassed by dwindling. Srila Prabhupada comments. It is said, stanad brashtad patantyadha, whether one is in a higher or lower division, one certainly falls down for want of Krishna consciousness. A sane man, therefore, is always fearful of falling from his position. This is a regulative principle. One should not fall from his exalted position. The highest goal of life can be achieved as long as one's body is stout and strong. We should therefore live in such a way that we keep ourselves always healthy and strong in mind and intelligence, so that we can distinguish the goal of life from a life full of problems. A thoughtful man must act in this way, learning to distinguish right from wrong, and thus attain the goal of life. Right, so, it says, sane man is, you know, therefore fearful of falling down from his position. So the human form of life, that's considered special. So to fall from that into the animal life, that's considered, you know, that's what you want to avoid. Right? So that's one aspect. And the other aspect, when he says keep one stout and strong, you have the aspect that, as he brought up before, it's about starting when you're young. Right? You don't leave it till, you know, like is a common Hindu concept that, you know, when you get too old to do anything, right, at that time, then okay, then if you take up. Like I remember once, and I've had it a couple of times actually, but, you know, once it really struck me. You know, it would have been back in the 70s. You know, you meet these Bengali gentlemen and that, and you're here, and okay, so where's your family? Or then, like that, you know, why you're not with your family? What about your family? Who's taking care of your family? It says, my mother and father, they're dead. Oh, okay. Then what about, you know, brothers and sisters and all that, you know, your duty and a thing like that? No, I don't have any brothers and sisters. Then they stop and says, oh, so very nice, you're a sadhu, you know, this and that. So as long as there's family in that, of course, why would you be doing all this sadhu stuff? But if there's no family, hey, okay, being a devotee is great. You know? it's funny, but yeah. Yeah.
It seems like the conception is that spiritual or devotional life is for those who are materially useless.
Yes, yes, yes. Just like in South India, amongst the Brahmins there, right? If they have, you know, a few sons, then the ones that are smart enough, then they go to, you know, IIT or, you know, these other things like that. And the ones that are a little too dull, they send them to, you know, learn puja and stuff like that. Like that. You know, back in the 80s, you'd be on the trains, like in South. You wouldn't see it as much in North occasionally, but in South, then all the, you know, the conductors and these kind of guys, responsible guys, you know, they're all some kind of, you know, big Brahmin titles and all that. And they do it because of the security. You know, the government, the pension, the government job gives and everything like that. Yeah, so I can remember sometimes having really serious philosophical discussions with them. You know, because they're, you know, there's Ramanuja Sampradaya or, you know, something like that, and they know their philosophy, they're well read, but, you know, they're doing it just because of the, you know, like that. So, That's the problem, is that. So Prahlada Maharaj is warning about that, is don't take it that if I can do something else, I would do that first, and only if I can do nothing. So here he's saying, while you're still stout and strong, then you should take up Krishna consciousness. Because the point is be able to distinguish what's right from wrong. Right? So that's the principle that's given here, is that the Prabhupada mentions that when the mind and intelligence is strong. He didn't say physically. Right? Of course, that'll be included, but that's not the focus. Like nowadays, the focus is on health. You know, it's the fashion, yes, to be healthy. You know, sit around what supplements you're taking, or what regime, what yoga, what exercise, you know, you're doing, what latest, you know, thing kind of thing and all that. And so, you know, what are you doing? Oh, that. And says, yeah, no, I used to do that, you know, 3 months ago, but now I'm doing, you know, that kind of stuff, you know. So it's a whole social thing. But it's about the mind and intelligence being strong, right? So therefore, if you rest properly, you're regulated and all that, then the mind and intelligence will be focused. That's the point of health. Not just that you're alive, because as it mentions in the first canto, I think it's second chapter, right? That, you know, there's all the famous about, you know, do the bellows not breathe? You know, they're also breathing, you know, and the animals are also, you know, having families and stuff. So, you know, that's not what they mean by life. They mean is that the mind and intelligence are focused. So that means then we have to cultivate the character, we have to cultivate all these different things. That's what we're trying to do. Does that make sense? Yeah. Prahlada Maharaj continued, every human being has a maximum duration of 100 years. But for one who cannot control his senses, half of those years are completely lost because at night he sleeps 12 hours, being covered by ignorance. Therefore, such a person has a lifetime of only 50 years. In the tender age of childhood, when everyone is bewildered, one passes 10 years. Right? So 10 years just playing around, doing nothing, right? Similarly, in boyhood, engaged in sporting and playing, one passes another 10 years. In this way, 20 years are wasted. Similarly, in old age, when one is an invalid, unable to perform even material activities, one passes another 20 years wastefully. One whose mind and senses are uncontrolled becomes increasingly attached to family life because of insatiable lusty desires and very strong illusion. In such a madman's life, the remaining years are also wasted because even during those years, he cannot engage himself in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada comments. From the very beginning of life, those who are ajitendriya, who cannot control their senses, are educated only for sense gratification, as we have seen in the Western countries. Thus, the entire duration of a life of even 100 years is wasted and misused. And at the time of death, one transmigrates to another body, which may not be human. At the end of 100 years, one who has not acted as a human being in a life of tapasya, austerity and penance, must certainly be embodied again in a body like those of cats, dogs, and hogs. Therefore, this life of lusty desires and sense gratification is extremely risky. To return home back to Godhead, one must be completely free from material attachment. Therefore, bhakti yoga means vairagya vidya, the art that can help one develop a distaste for material enjoyment. Right? So this vairagya vidya, this is the knowledge by which you can do this. That's why we study all these technical aspects of the Shankhya and these aspects of knowledge, is so that we know how to use the qualities, the intelligence, how to be, detached. Right? That's what we're trying to do. So it's not that itself gets you bhakti, but doing that to please Krishna and doing that so that we're qualified, that will give you bhakti. Right? It's not the activity you do that gives you the bhakti, it's your intent in doing it. Right? That doesn't mean that therefore, since as we've explained, that the activity doesn't matter, I can do whatever I want. Because then the point is, I can do whatever I want, why would you do whatever you want? If you do something, it gets a result. Right? And if the result's for Krishna, why would you just do anything? You would do things that give a specific result for Krishna. So if I do other than that, I must be wanting a result different than from Krishna. So even, yes?
Sometimes we see that even though the intelligence, which knows the the knowledge,
it
convinces, but unless the mind is convinced, we're not working on it. Even though theoretically we know what's supposed to be done.
Yes.
But if the mind is agreeable, we do it. If it's not agreeable, we just...
No. But where's the key? Because intelligence is one thing, mind is another. Mm. Right? Because, and then when we have a discussion, you know, about what's going on, mm-hmm. it's the mind and the intelligence. Mm. Right? So one is pointing out the logical and the obvious like this, but the other is pointing out what effect you'll get from it, what experience you'll get from it. Mm-hmm. Right? So really hard to put those two. So what is the, so that's two parties there. Mm-hmm. So what's the key? The key is the third party. The third party is the identity. Because depending upon the identity, then you go. In other words, when you have that kind of thing where the mind is coming out, the intelligence is there, you know it, but the mind is acting in such a way that you're not getting, you can tell it's not necessarily going to work out great. Mm-hmm. Then leave those two. Focus on the identity. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yes. Because if the identity is I'm servant of Krishna, then and the mind accepts that, because that it may accept. It may not accept a detail, but that is a principle. Then it has a tendency to be able to accept. Once it's accepted that, then it will be more inclined to accept what the intelligence says. The problem is we've identified as the controller and enjoyer for so long that the things that the mind says sound reasonable, though we know that what the intelligence says is better. You know what I'm saying? In other words, what the mind says is good, but what the intelligence says is better, but you know, good is good enough.
Good enough.
You know? Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, why be over the top? But if you change the identity, then I'm not the controller and enjoyer, I'm the servant.
But
you understand?
Yes.
Because the mind will accept that. The identity is part of the mind. So in other words, mind, intelligence, false ego are all part of mind. So intelligence and the false ego are basically subdivisions of the whole mental process. But the point is accepting that I'm servant of Krishna and I do things to please Krishna and it's for Krishna's pleasure that brings Krishna into it. And then by Krishna's grace, then we can function on the intelligence. So, you know, but, you know, it's... Yeah.
Huh? Takes practice.
It takes practice, but it's also practical. But the thing is if we do it, then we'll see it works. Because generally we don't. We just, between the intelligence and mind, we try to make a decision. But the actual point of actual decision is always made with the identity. So we're used to using one identity. And then with that identity, you know, we're trying to use, you know, upgrade the intelligence and mind. But the point is to make it work, we actually have to purify the identity. Right? Because you purify the mind, you purify the intelligence, okay. But decisions are made based on the identity. So if the identity is not purified, you still won't use the better option. But you purify the identity, you'll pick the better option. Even if maybe you'd like the other ones, but this is better. Then from that, you know, because everything at the end comes around to the beginning, right? So then having performed the activity, gotten the results, that will create samskar. That samskar then comes around to the beginning. So then when you're dealing with the mind again, you know, the chitta, which is the consciousness, now you have some improved samskar. Now it takes time for the volume of samskar, you know, that's good to be greater than the one that's bad. But because devotional samskar is more powerful than material, it can be done. If that's why for the materialist, then generally these things of, you know, how they're born and all these different things, it is pretty much fixed like that. Because on the material platform, for them to improve the quality of their samskars will take them lifetimes. But for the devotee, it can be done very quickly, just depending upon their commitment to desire. You know what I'm saying? Their desire is to please Krishna, serve Krishna. then it will work. It will improve quickly. If they don't have the desire, so that's why if my identity is there, from identity then comes desire. Right? I mean, Shankarshan is identity. Right? And from Shankarshan, from there, then Prajumna, then, okay, the inspiration and stuff like that. Right? Then you'll, apply yourself, in Abhideya, then you get your result in Prayojana. Right? And whatever's in Prayojana, Aniruddha will come back to Prajumna. Does that make sense? Just like we're saying, the whole process of reasoning, what you do, it'll create some scar that'll come back to the beginning of the cycle. So what you do in the fifth, means your identity, what you choose, you'll do. But because what you've chosen has a different intent, therefore when it comes back around to the second one, the mind, the samskar is changed. Right? In other words, if in Prajumna you have a higher quality of desire, it'll give a higher quality of result. That higher quality of result will come back to the position of desire. Now the desire is improved. So now to think of proper things that would be better, then you'll get better results. That'll just keep going. So it keeps nourishing itself. But if you use polluted consciousness and polluted desire, then it will just degrade you. That's why we can so confidently say, you follow this path of materials, you will go to hell. We're thinking, oh no, but that's so strong and this and that and like that. But no, it's just the way the path works. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So therefore, if you focus in those times of indecision, focus on identity. I'm a servant of Krishna. So as a servant of Krishna, what should be done? Then it's more obvious that the intelligent one is the better one. The mind can't be as confident. So it may take some time before we take it, but at least the mind can tell the difference. And the mind can tell that it's actually the better one. But by habit, it still wants to do what it wants to do. But then having done it, then you'll see as a result isn't what you expect. And so it furthers, it gives, in other words, it creates that the mind becomes less and less confident about the material choices. And more and more, open to the idea that the intelligent or the spiritual choices are better. But if you keep at it constantly, then it will start to work. We can't get disturbed that it doesn't always work in the beginning. It's understood it may not always work, but that's not an excuse. As soon as we make it an excuse, then we're going backwards. But we know that I'm going to try, and if I make it, great, and if I don't, I'm going to keep trying. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Gain and loss, it's in the mind?
Gain and loss, yes, because for what one person would say is gain, another person would say that's loss. Let us say the market goes down. Right? So for most people, that's loss. But for some people, that's gain. Because they know what goes up must go down, but what goes down must go up, right? Because people, that's where the economy happens. So if it goes down, then, you buy when it's down, it's going to go back up. You're going to make money. Right? So for what one person will say is bad is, it's just like we go out and it starts to rain. We think it's bad. The farmer's thinking, this is great. So like that. So. Yes?
By my explanation, it sounds like Sankarshan is the foundational basis of all desire. Activity.
It's the intellectual platform of knowledge. So in other words, when we're talking about Sambandha Gyan, the knowledge is in Sankarshan. But that knowledge has to be applied with an attitude. So you can say, just for, we're just working on the principle of being inclined to reject the position or enthusiasm of the early, 60s and 70s in the movement because of seeing the roughness of it, or the dealings were, seeming a little too impersonal and dry, or I didn't find that, but there are those who were grumpy in those days that now are, you know, sitting on the top of bureaucracy today, that, you know, they were grumpy from back then. You know, it's not that they got like that now. They've always been like that. Just now they get to try out. This is how they feel it should have been. You know, so Krishna's giving them a chance so they can see that it's a waste of time. You know, but the point is that what was missing wasn't the Sambandha Gyan. It was, you know, the Shankarshan, Prajumna was missing. The attitude still was too much, you know, sense gratification, karma, or gyan. His devotees were new. They had faith, they were committed, like that. So then they could do amazing things in devotional. But on the social platform, it still had that karma or gyan. So it either looked too much like sense gratification or too much like impersonalism. Like that. All it is then with time you mature, so then the attitude changes. You know, it's just like, let's say you have, you know, and always these examples, I'm looking at the better qualities. I'm not talking about the downside of the thing. That's a different discussion altogether. Let's say you have new money and you have old money. Right? Now, in dealing with the people of old money, they're more relaxed, they're more calm, they're more cultured, they'll sit and talk more, they don't get flustered so easy. The ones with new money, then it's much more. Why? Because they haven't, that means they have, may have knowledge how to make the money. You know, they may have the same knowledge, as good as, maybe better, maybe not, as those with the old money. But the problem is the Prajumna aspect hasn't matured. Right, so they think it's just running the mechanics of the money is the whole thing. But actually, no, you're a person, the life, relationships, all that kind of thing.
All these things you mentioned, desire, attitude, so that fits within desire and Prajumna?
Desire and attitude are together. Okay. Because depending on your attitude, that's how your desire is going to be. Okay. Right, and depending on your desire, that's going to be your goal.
And your identity is the basis of both.
Yeah, so therefore the identity is strong in that we're serving the Krishna, you know, this is the mission of Lord Chaitanya, Sankirtan movement, you know, like that. So that aspect was very strong and good. And the, you know, the Abhideya, the getting results, offering to Krishna. But the desire to do it for Krishna, so philosophically it was strong, but culturally it was weak. So all you have to do is add that for maturity. But in foolishness, then most will throw out the whole Vedic endeavor and the process that was there, thinking that that's the cause of it, because of the material misconception that everything's generated by the forms and action. Because your external is, but your experience is not. Right? It means, depending upon my attitude, that's what then determines the experience. My attitude in Prajumna is going to create what is my experience in Aniruddha. Right? My application of Shankarshan into the process, that's just going to determine what kind of physical result is gained. Right? Because we're saying, means Vasudeva is a combination of all the other three. So I have the knowledge of Shankarshan, that means my skill in Abhideya, that's the connection. And because of that particular skill, that would give me a specific result. But that's not the experience. The experience comes from what's my attitude in Prajumna. That will be what experience I gain in Aniruddha. Yes. Yes. So that's the whole thing is that we're not catching is that they're overlaid on each other. But you need both of them. So you have to have the knowledge and the attitude and know what the actual goal is, both in the extension of the attitude and the extension of the skill. Because otherwise some say, oh yes, we should get this and that, it'd be great, but they have no idea how to connect it. So even though big talk, wonderful, everybody's inspired, nothing happens. Why? Because they have no idea what the real knowledge is, the real skill is in application and the real goal. So they're just working on it would be nice with that attitude. So that's great. But then you don't call yourself professional. It's sentiment. Problem is the professional, then they leave out the sentiment. So the Vedic system is you have to run both at the same time. Otherwise it can't be the experience can't be satisfying to the human being. right? Because just getting the things isn't enough. There's plenty of people who have stuff who aren't satisfied, right? Like that. So that's the whole thing. Is there's always something more. You know, you don't have a car, so if you had any car, it'd be great. You know, like that. I remember, you know, as a kid, I was looking at a postal van. Was available. It was in good shape and everything like that. You know, I think, wow, okay, money was right, and I think, you know, like that. You know, a postal van. You know, who's got a postal van? You know, like that. You know, so that's the whole. You start there, but then after that, then you know, it just keeps going until you know, even you have the top cars that there is. Then what? Yeah, then you're going for your helicopter, you know, because the car anyways gets stuck in traffic. You know, it's like those guys, you know, they live on one side of the Hudson and they work on Manhattan. They just take the helicopter across. They're across in 3 minutes, and if they went drive around, it could take them hours, you know, like that. And then, okay, you got that, and then you have to go to the airport and then get on the plane and then this and that. So they want their own plane. But then, you know, they only got one engine, but then they have two engine ones and then bigger ones, bigger seats, you know, so I think it's... Who's our Brettling Walla? You know, he's got a 747 private.
You go back to the bicycle.
Yeah, you go back there. Yeah, yeah, or not even the bicycle, right? The push bike, you know, those flat things with no pedals. You know, it's easy. You can go on the sidewalk. The other one, you have to go on the road. Right?
So, sentiment fits within the dream also?
That's where the sentiment is, but that's why I said if you don't have the philosophy, the religion, you know, so you have to have them both. So in other words, one's the philosophy, one's the religion. Yeah, so and then you have to have the proper goals, because goal can be karma, jnana, or bhakti. Right? So that'll be reflected in Pajumna. Even though you're following religion, but you can get those three effects out of it. So the whole idea of, that's why we say just being pious is not good enough, or just following the Vedic culture is not enough. It's you have to have the attitude of pure bhakti as your goal. Because otherwise, just even just having bhakti is not, oh no, he has that feeling. But everybody who wants something has that feeling. You know, we saw how nice the Hamsaguya prayers are. And Daksha is not a devotee in any way, shape, or form. Like that. But he's smart. He knows that Vishnu is the supreme. He fulfills all the desires. So therefore, from that from intelligence, he says all these wonderful prayers, you know, and with feeling and all that, because he is a person. He's, you know, after Brahma, then he's in the, you know, top 10 next most pious people in the universe. You know, Brahma's the most, then the you know, his sons, and then the Prajapatis. And there's great sages. So, you know, he's pious. He knows like this and that. So he's doing that. So he's using bhakti within karma. So he's using bhakti Mr. Karma. But the problem is then before and after that, you never see that devotion. But that devotion is good. So we take that part of it. We would use it in the pure state. He's using it in the mixed state. Right? So his goal is not... So that's the whole point, is that the Prajumna has to be right. We use all the qualities of the Brahmins, we use the Varnashram system, you know, all the different piety and, you know, what is sacrifice, charity, and austerity. But that's not going to get you bhakti. It's been doing that to please Krishna. That will give you bhakti.
The Prajumna touches on Aniruddha.
Yeah, because Prajumna, if it's contemplated, turns into Aniruddha. Then you need it. And once you need something, then you are willing to do it, then the mind accepts. That's what Mataji was saying. He said, okay, you can see it, but the mind's not willing yet. Like that. So it just has to be cultivated until the mind is willing. So it's a very specific science. So this whole thing of, you know, you do this, and then this pendulum swing, and the political, and all these different things... They're not going to get anywhere. You know, these things have been going on forever. You know, at any time in history, they've gone back and forth between all these things. You know, you went from the more, how you say, conservative kind of, you know, established thing with the Senate, and then you know, Czar, Kaiser, Caesar. Okay, yes. And get back to the root then. Okay, yeah. So Caesar, he's more like the kind of like, you know, the liberal, you know, working with the people. He brings people up in the army by their qualities and things like that. He's actually a little bit more in the broad-minded, but he would be seen as liberal. Mm-hmm. You know? It means when we talk all these things that are broad-minded, we're not liberal, but we'll be considered liberal by those who are conservative. But those who are liberal will consider us conservative. So that's the thing. So then, you know, it did all right as long as it was going good for the country. But, you know, it's coming up and getting established. Once it gets established, then they can see that if he continues, their position is in jeopardy. Because what are they doing? How are they doing? I mean, he goes out on a campaign. He conquers countries in that. After they killed him, they all went out. And they, within a few years, they're all dead. They couldn't do anything. You know, they're landed, you know, gentry they had from time, you know, going back how many generations and stuff like that. They have some culture, they have intelligence, but they don't have the drive. You know, so in that way, they're not qualified. They're qualified to give some advice, to be taken like this, but not to the point that, you know, that they're taking, that they consider themselves to do. Because amongst themselves, it sounds great, you know, just like down at the pub. All the guys are sitting around and talking, you know, what should happen in politics or in sports or this and that. You know, so all the guys are telling, they can sit there and tell these, you know, Maradona and all these other guys what they should have done, you know, like that. You know, it's just like that. They're like spot on, you know, exact like this. But when it comes to reality, you know, it's like if they can find their way home, they're doing good.
It seems to be that
poor legs.
Yes, poor legs, yes.
It seems to be the entrepreneurial thing that's glorified today.
Yes.
That's the sentiment.
But how many people are entrepreneurs? That's the whole thing.
You're saying it, minimal? Or?
What I'm saying is, just like let's take here in Mayapur, and everyone's talking about how do you maintain yourself, how do you do this and that and all that. But what's not noticed is there's 2,000 Bengalis that live here permanently, 365 days a year.
Yeah.
And they're maintaining themselves. How? They run like the whole boundary wall. Are there any honkies running a shop down there? You know, so it's very few. A few of them who are, they're doing it, but these guys just do it.
Yeah.
They don't talk about it. It's not like you can sit around and, yeah, hey, you know, they're just, no.
That's what I'm saying. In the West, it's greatly glorified.
It's greatly glorified.
It's just accepted as the run for
me. It's just what you do. In other words, it's not life. Entrepreneurship is not life. It's what you do to sustain life.
Yeah.
So if you can sustain your life with it, you do it. If you can't, why talk about it?
Yeah.
But it takes on a life of its own. That's a whole another, yeah, that's a whole different discussion. But that's very, yes, it's true.
Very few lack the real punch to get anything done.
No, because the point is that's what we're saying. It's been around, it sounds great and all that, but, you know, is it really great?
It's like the followers of Caesar. They got on the bandwagon, but then nothing after they got to
the... Yeah, it means, well, but they got rid of Caesar. That was the problem. Like that. So, yes.
This phenomena of identity, we see that people with a strong identity before coming in contact with devotees, they still remain, you know, with a strong identity as a devotees.
Yes.
So, what's the connection?
The connection would probably be just technically their placement of their moon or something. Moon.
A moon.
Yes, it just means that they have their mind stronger or not, or this or that. But the question is do they use that identity to advantage in Krishna consciousness?
Apparently.
And if they do, then that's great. But if they don't, then it will be a problem. So that's the point. All these good qualities, if they're connected to Krishna, they have great value. And if they're not connected to Krishna, they won't actually give any lasting advantage. There'll always be a difficulty. You know, as Prahlad Maharaj was saying, as soon as you, immediately the moment you embark on sense gratification, immediately misery comes up. like that. But if you're just trying to do things to please Krishna, then things come nice, not nice, then you're fine. In other words, if it's nice or not nice, you're fine. And if you're trying for sense gratification, whether it's nice or not nice, you're not fine. Because whether even if it's good, it's never good enough. You know, that's the problem. Yes.
In Sambandha, we have two aspects.
Yes.
But wouldn't we have the same two aspects as well as in Anirudha and in Vasudeva too?
That's another thing. It means they each, the Kalyana Gunas, they all have both have, they all have two qualities. But in here is that because you're taking four positions, but as we said, is you have the aspect of I have the knowledge, I have the identity, I have the knowledge, I have the skill. But it's the attitude that you apply it that makes the difference.
So Pradyumna would carry...
Pradyumna is the attitude in which it's done.
So it would determine which prayojana we have and how we're going to apply it.
Yes, yes, because it, therefore that will affect our, the Vasudeva, the Abhideya, when we apply it. Because you have the qualities of Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. All those six qualities are therefore in Vasudeva when it's applied. So, depending on how you're applying those, the quality of that, that's going to have going to give the effect. So if the quality of Pradyumna is low, therefore its inclusion in Abhideya and Vasudeva will also be of lower quality. Or your understanding of the goal, it will still. So that's why you have to, the Sambandha Gyan means I have the proper attitude, I know what the goal is, I have the proper knowledge, and I know what the actual application is. Right? Because that's generally how it will go. Right? I'll go from Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Sankarshan, Vasudeva. In the way of planning. You understand? And when I have all four of those in place, that we would call overall a Sambandha Gyan. Right? Now I am in a position to actually apply it in Vasudeva. Not theoretical about Vasudeva, but actual application. So now it becomes Abhideya. It's not Sambandha anymore. So that's why there's a difference between the plan and the execution. Niti Shastra says, only a fool thinks when you've made a plan and then they become happy that it's like it's done, then because you know they haven't applied it. You know, you may feel inspired and confident like that. So sometimes you'll see, you know, Arjuna, Yudhishthira, then, you know, we feel that it's already accomplished because they have confidence that it's good, it's all right and all that. But still, they apply themselves fully. I'm talking about the modern kind of context where people sit around, come up with a great plan, and because they came up with that, then everybody thinks it's fabulous. How they're going to apply it, nobody has an idea.
So we can say that the modern they go Pradyumna Aniruddha and stop, more or less.
Yeah, or they talk about they have a few you know seminars on some skills and then you're great.
Yeah,
so it never actually gets to real Abhideya. So that's why Prabhupada mentions before, he says it many times, is that in the Vedic concept, when the king is, there's a battle, who's in front?
The king.
The king. That's the difference between the modern and the Vedic. You know? Also, you have, even in the modern military, you have two kinds of officers. You have the field officers and you have the administrator.
And they always fight.
They always fight because the one says, I've said it, it should happen, you should just do it. But the other one says, we're here, we can see that it's different, it has to be changed. You know, it's very nice you're sitting in a bunker, which is, you know, fine, and that we're not worried about that. But then you say, okay, you just go up the hill and attack there. But then when they go to attack, they find that they already have, you know, positions there, and that if they go up there, they'll be destroyed. So you have to go around to the back, and then they'll say, why you're not following my order? So it becomes false ego. It's not real. Real is you have to see what's on the ground, what's actually happening. So in the Vedic sense is you have the whole theory, but then you have to actually practically apply it. And in applying it, you have to use all your theory, but you have to know actually what your goal is. Like that. And be able to see use your intelligence that this, I perform this action, it brings me closer or farther to the goal. If it's farther, then I have to adjust my application of the action because I know what the goal is. So with my knowledge that I have and the goal, I adjust the application until it matches. I can use my knowledge to get that goal. So the situations in which I'm applying it, that may keep changing. Like that. That's why leadership is able to do that. They have that intelligence. It scares the socks off of bureaucrats. Because bureaucrats in no way, shape, or form have even a drop of that ability. They just want to, it's on the paper, it should happen like it's on the paper. Because if it's different on the paper, what does that mean? They have to rewrite the paper. They don't want to rewrite the paper because their life is so important in the paper. And so that's why bureaucrats hate leadership. They will try their best to make sure it doesn't happen. That's why in the Vedic system, bureaucrats are never allowed to be on the top. Because they're not leaders. Though they always think they can be. You know, like I said, chartered accountants, they always think they're God gifts to the world on how to spend money. But they haven't had one day that they were taught how to spend money. They only know how to write it down in a book with numbers. They're never taught how to do that. But they always think that they can. So the same thing, the guy that's sitting in the office, he thinks he knows everything, though he's not there. So that's the difference, is you have to be able to do what's there. So you see, in the old world, is the people who were on the top, they were always there. You know? And I always find that, I think I mentioned, two situations where I was actually surprised by the answer. Is that, I think it was one, it was, you know, how you say, there was something coming up, I was mentioning to one GBC man, about the meeting and this difficulty and all that. And he just stopped and looked at me and says, I'm not in this to get out of difficulty. I'm in this to deal with difficulty. You manage, difficulty will come up. That's part of the package. That's just the way it works. So he made it very clear is that he deals with it as it comes up. You make your plan, you affect it, and all the difficulties, that's your business to deal with it. You know. So I was, you know, pleasantly surprised, yeah. And another time we were talking in Bombay to the, I think he was the chairman of the, what do you call that when a whole bunch of businessmen get together and they have a thing, they deals kind of, they work with each other?
Based on?
No, it's a practical thing, it's an economic thing. Chamber of Commerce. It's a chamber of commerce. So all these businessmen know, because in other words, if they're doing things with each other, they'll help each other. You know, I think people outside, then you charge full price, but amongst themselves, they'll help each other. So then I was invited to go and meet, you know, these people. Someone else was going, and I just went along with them. So then I met the chairman, and then, you know, it came up, what's your business? So he's in trucking. In India, you know, and you notice how many trucks are on the side of the road turned over and this and that. So I mentioned it, says, you know, it's a bit thick, and he gave things I never even thought of. You know, guys just steal the whole truck, not just the goods. I thought, okay, they steal the truck, you know, like that. You know, they do this, they run out of petrol, the this and that, you know, the riots, you know, like earthquakes. It goes on. And he just says that's just what the business is. You just have to learn how to deal with it and all that. And on top of that, you still, you know, make your money and it works. So his point was is that that's life. That's the way it works. That's leadership. You know? So this whole thing is that you try to get away from it. That's okay if you're just dealing with the standards and stuff like that. The Brahmins don't have to deal with all that kind of thing because they're just giving what are the standards of you know, the attitude, the goal, that there's a correct understanding. But the application, that's done by those who can do that. Does that make sense? So that's the difference is that the Brahmin will avoid the difficulty. the bureaucrat will avoid the difficulty, but the Brahmin will base it on Shastra. And see the bigger picture. Well, the bureaucrat won't base it on Shastra. They just what's easiest for them. I remember once I went into the thing, wanted to pull out some money from the account to get something in Calcutta. Because it was a certain amount, then they said, you have to bring the receipt first. Right? Who gives a receipt before you bought it? Right? But he didn't want to have to run around for that big receipt, because if a smaller receipt, you know, he can make some adjustments. But that bigger receipt, I can't do it. He wanted the receipt first before he gave him the money. And he was serious. You know? It's like, you know, it's insane. Yes.
A bureaucrat is a shudra position.
Bureaucrat is shudra. It's glorified these days that it's something big, but bureaucrat is a shudra. It doesn't mean that he's not a qualified shudra. Ramananda Rai is the governor of Madras, which means the whole of South India, not just the city. Mm-hmm. Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, all the whole South India. He's the governor. But he's a shudra. He makes that very clear. Like, he's got a bigger position, manages more than others. But you know, he's a shudra. So that's the point, is we don't mind it's used for Krishna, but you have to know is that still there's a hierarchy, you still have to work it. Just because it would be practical, still there's shastra. So that's the whole thing, is that the process is there. So Man is very careful that you have to control the bureaucrats, because the bureaucrats will always make the people's lives miserable. That's kind of like their dharma.
In order to minimize their own difficulty.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever it is, they just naturally do it. So, and that's not a problem. We're not worried that they naturally do it. It's just so much to keep it in check so that it doesn't get out of hand. In other words, the balance between the difficulty and getting your work. You don't mind it's difficult as long as you get your work done. But if you're going to be difficult and not get your work done, then that's where it's gone over the point. So the whole thing that we're talking about here is that you have to have all these things in position. Right? And so that takes training. And so if it means anybody can know it, but know it on the bigger level, that takes training. That one has to learn from someone like that. So then an application, that's leadership. So then even if it's just our own life, we should take a leadership role in our own life. You know, try to control the mind, the intelligence, the identity, you know, and with that then we can make it all work. You know, because otherwise then, you know, it's mentioned here what you got left, right? We calculated the other day. Because if you take here, it's okay, you have 100 years, take out 50 for sleeping, right? Then 40 and 40 for that, at least 10 years, right? And even if you say, well, we've already taken the sleeping out of the other, it only increases it to 30. Mm-hmm. You know, 70 is gone already. So like that. And where is that 30? It's in the middle, you know. It's in the family lifetime. And so, if in that time, because that's the time, oh, we're too busy now to do this, but that's the time that's left. Because youth, you waste it, and when you're old, you can't do anything anyway. So that's the only time you actually have left. So if in that time you don't apply it, then you lose it. Because Prahlad Maharaj, he went to Gurukul, and then afterwards he's a married man, he's a Kshatriya, he's running his kingdom. Okay. You know, so that's why Bhagavatam gives so much. It means you just need a few examples of a brahmachari, because how much is going to change in their life? Right? But because grihastha life, there's so many facets of it. That's why then so many grihasthas are shown, you know, who have perfected their life in Krishna consciousness. That right down to, you know, following all the traditional, you know, just what we'd call even just karma kanda, but seeing even that in connection with Krishna, you know, Priyavrata, Rishabdev, they did like that, you know, Yudhishthir, like that. So you see, even down to that, you know, up to just how nicely they dealt, think Risha David, it was explaining how he dealt with his wife. Kardama, then how he dealt with Devahuti. You know, before the marriage, during the earlier parts of the marriage, like this. You know, I think it was Priyavrata or Rishabh Dev, just in general, how he dealt like that. And, you know, so all these different things you see, how they can see it in connection to the Lord. So then you can get the, you know, the full kind of understanding, because that's the real point. Because if you can do that, then the whole thing's very easy. Okay. Prahlad Maharaj, so that was all discussing this Vairagya Vidya, the art that can help one to develop a taste from a distaste for material enjoyment. So it's an art, right? It's known that here's the knowledge, here's the techniques, but using it for Krishna, that's the actual point. So just getting a distaste for material enjoyment, the jnanis do that, right? But they're using it to gain a goal of liberation. We're using it to lose our interest in material enjoyment so we can develop an interest in spiritual endeavor. Is that, yes?
Maharaj, is Vairagya in Pradyumna and Vidya in Sakasha?
I would think in this case that the Vairagya would be as your goal. In other words, I'm working in knowledge like that. And then the goal is there's detachment. Okay. But to do that, then there has to be an attitude of detachment.
Yeah.
Right? Like that. So you'd have it'd have to include all three. It'd have to include all three. And then since it includes all three, when you're applying it, you would also have that attitude. Not that before I start, I understand the knowledge, I have that renounced mood, and I know it's all for Krishna, but when I'm applying it, then I'm, you know, just gross sense gratifier. But then as soon as I get the result, I immediately go back to it. No. It would just naturally go through. Yes. Prahlad Maharaj continues. What person too attached to household life due to being unable to control his senses can liberate himself? An attached householder is bound very strongly by ropes of affection for his family, wife, children, and other relatives. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains. Even though the person may realize that he should worship Krishna, he is unable to do so. Therefore, from the Kaumara age, one should begin worshiping the Lord. One can perfect one's worship only by producing attachment to worship and by being unattached to anything else. There is no other method. Footnote 28. Sanat Kumar similarly stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 4.22.32, there is no stronger obstruction to one's self-interest than thinking other subject matters to be more pleasing than one's self-realization. So that's the idea. If we think that self-realization there, but there's other things that can give us more happiness, he says there's no bigger obstacle. Right? Because it's all about desire. So if we think something else can get us more, if we reverse the engineering, if I think I can get more out of this goal when I come back to Prajumna, then what is there? There's the desire to enjoy.
So it's lack of sambandha?
Yes, means the knowledge, but it mentions here, he says, even though a person may realize that he should worship Krishna, he is unable to do so. Because there's too much material desire. So the only way we can do is that we see ourselves as servant of Krishna.
So that's the identity, mind, and intelligence?
Yes, all that in there. So by that, then we can adjust it. But it's recommended, therefore, from a young age, then we should train. So that's the idea, is that maybe as first generation, we didn't get that opportunity. But then the second generation, we afford that, so that they can get over that.
Then the main point in education would be create a proper identity.
Yes. Proper identity and all that. So therefore, that's through service, right? If we're servant of Krishna, therefore, that's why Prabhupada says the brahmachari is defined as menial servant. So they learn to be able to do service and be comfortable with that and not be lazy. And so then from that non-laziness, then all the others. So they're not lazy, so they study. They're not lazy, they respect. They're not lazy, they behave appropriate for the situation. They're not lazy, they control the senses. They're not lazy, they're clean. Right? So if they have a service attitude, all those other things will come in line. But if they don't have a service attitude, none of those will come in line. You know, unless they want to. I've seen kids that can really sit down and study, but they'll only study what they want to study. They won't study what, you know, what's the general thing. So they'll go in the library, sit there and read all day, but it's only their particular books they want to know on. You know, so the whole point is when the service attitude is correct, everything else would be in line. So that's what we're meaning. If I see myself as servant of Krishna, then I can make it work. So that's why it says from Komara, then that should start. Right, so Komara means before you go to Gurukul. Like that. And then Pauganda, you know, if you're short, then you're in Gurukul. You know, like that. But the point is from there it's already started. Because parents give what they value most to the children. So if Krishna consciousness is what they value most, that's what they'll be given. But, you know, it's with a particular, you know, culture, character, all that. So it's natural. It's naturally given. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Money is so dear that one conceives of money as being sweeter than honey. Therefore, who can give up the desire to accumulate money, especially in household life? Thieves, professional servants, soldiers, and merchants try to acquire money even by risking their very dear lives. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. This verse illustrates the strength of material attachment. Wealth is dearer than the life heirs. That is explained. Thieves risk their lives by entering the house of a wealthy man at night to steal. Servants of the king risk their lives by going to war for the king. Merchants risk their lives by going to different places across the ocean. And so it's all very difficult, but they're willing to take it because they'll get money. So they're willing to risk their life for money. You know? But that's the bottom line. It's not risking the life out of a higher duty. It's not for dharma. It means they're doing their dharma, but it's not about dharma. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, desire for gain, at least in some individuals, is stronger than the desire for safety?
Because they think the gain will create the safety.
Okay.
So if I have the gain, then I'll be safe.
Okay.
So since that's so much stronger than, you know, because that's the idea, if there's gain, then I'll be safe.
So,
yeah, so the thing for gain. If you have less drive on the gain, then you have less anxiety on the safety.
They go hand in hand.
Yeah, so that's why if the devotee is surrendered to Krishna, he has nothing to gain, and he's fearless. So Prahlad has nothing to gain, but he's fearless to the point where his father, who isn't afraid of everybody, is afraid.
Yes.
You know, he knows he's the most powerful in the universe. And so that's something special, right? Because before him and after him, there's never been anyone like him. But he sees that the power behind Prahlad Maharaj is unlimited.
He can have no effect on him.
No, it's so far beyond. He just doesn't know what to do with that. So that's the whole point, is that if you're not worried about gain, then you're safe. You're worried about gain, then you're insecure. The two go together. That's why it says, as soon as you start on the material path, immediately there's misery. The two go together. Well, you know, we think I'll pick and choose as I like, but no, it doesn't work like that. Srila Prabhupada adds, Prahlad Maharaj's advice is therefore very appropriate. Kaumara acharet pragyo Dharman Bhagavatan Iha Durlabham Manusham Janma Tad Up Yad Dhruvam Artadham Srimad Bhagavatam 7.6.1. One who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life, in other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. Human society should take advantage of this instruction. So that the difficulty is catching actually the mood of this. Because if the focus is on devotional service, that becomes the primary. So therefore, other things like using our knowledge and skills for gain and safety become a secondary aspect. But because we take it that secondary is actually the most important, because it's like this, if the primary is supposed to be Krishna, we replace that with ourselves, that just goes without saying. So then, technically, our primary becomes the secondary. So Paladmar is to say, no, switch the primary back to the original primary. The secondary, you still make your same endeavor, but the consciousness is not about that. That's the whole difference. You're changing the consciousness. You're not changing the activity. So then the problem comes with that, is that the problem comes with that is if we don't catch this point, then it's one or the other. You know, and for many, they'll balance it by, okay, the morning program, that's all about Krishna. And then once one goes out of the temple, that's all about, you know, yourself and money and this and that, like that. So at least, you know, the one's solid and the other, okay, it works. But that secondary can also be just as Krishna conscious and not change in its endeavor. As we take it as, no, unless I'm attached, I won't endeavor. Because we come from a culture, the only reason you endeavor is because of attachment. Like was explained one day, I was asking, how come these, you know, certain laborers don't come to work? They don't come regularly to work. And then another laborer was explaining, he was explaining this particular group because they come from a particular community. It says, you know, he was saying in tongue in cheek, but it's in the principle it's correct. He says, when this group wakes up in the morning, the first thing they do is kick the rice pot. And if it's got something in it, they go back to sleep. And if it's empty, they get up and go to work. Because they work on a daily wage. So you work that day, you get paid that day. So it's not like the, you know, like that. So that's the principle in the moderns. If you only do something because of attachment. So therefore, why would I be working if I'm not attached? Rather than I'm attached to Krishna, it's my duty to take care of the family, therefore I'm working. You know, and then that work is taking care of the family as part of the duties for Krishna. So then one uses all one's facility for that. But it's all ultimately for Krishna. So generally it's like it goes one way or the other. It can't be balanced, because that takes maturity. So that's what Paladmar is saying. If we're trained from the beginning, there's more chance to be able to develop that maturity. But the living entity can develop it at any time. Like we see with Dasaratnakar and Dasaratnakar and what is it, the hunter? Migrari. Now there's someone late in life who never once thought about anything higher than, you know, their kind of low class job. And so then, but they were able to take it up and become perfect at it. Or that, what do you call it? The prostitute at Benapal. Right? She immediately came to the Uttama platform by just surrendering to the instructions of Haridas Thakur. Like that. So it's possible. You know, and so if one can do that, great. And if not, then you follow the sadhana as it's delineated here. Right? Paladmar has continued. How can a person who is most affectionate to his family, the core of his heart being always filled with their pictures, give up their association? Specifically, a wife is always very kind and sympathetic and always pleases her husband in a solitary place. Who can give up the association of such a dear and affectionate wife? Small children talk in broken language, very pleasing to hear, and their affectionate father always thinks of their sweet words. How could he give up their association? One's elderly parents and one's sons and daughters are also very dear. A daughter is especially dear to her father, and while living at her husband's house, she is always in his mind. Who could give up that association? Aside from this, in household affairs there are many decorated items of household furniture, and there are also animals and servants. Who could give up such comforts? The attached householder is like a silkworm, which weaves a cocoon in which it becomes imprisoned, unable to get out. Simply for the satisfaction of two important senses, the genitals and the tongue, one is bound by material conditions. How can one escape? One who is too attached cannot understand that he is wasting his valuable life for the maintenance of his family. He also fails to understand that the purpose of human life, a life suitable for realization of the absolute truth, is being imperceptibly spoiled. However, he is very cleverly attentive to seeing that not a single farthing is lost by mismanagement. Thus, although an attached person in material existence always suffers from threefold miseries, he does not develop a distaste for the way of material existence. It's so clear and exact. And this is a five-year-old talking. But he knows what's happening. That's the... Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, he does not understand that his lifespan is dwindling and the goal of human life is lost. He is only aware of running out of cakes and sweets. However, he does not regret this. Srila Prabhupada adds, although a materialistic person is expert in calculating costs and doing business, he does not realize that he's misusing his costly life for one of knowledge. Right? So he's saying, very careful about his money, but he's not actually very careful about his life. You know, he's maintaining his health, he's doing this and that, and keeping out of trouble like that. But he doesn't understand that human life is more valuable than all these valuable things he has. That's being wasted. So that's why he brings the point up, is that he won't waste a farthing, you know, on that, but he'll waste his whole life for materialism. Yeah. Even though such a materialistic person is always suffering threefold miseries, he is not intelligent enough to cease his materialistic way of life. Right? So in generic, we take that. But you can see here is just, here's some, it means, in other words, this lifestyle that is discussed here, that Prahlad Maharaj mentioned, basically he's saying, this is as good as it gets. You follow the Vedic system nicely, this is what you can get. But having that is still a waste of time. You're still not satisfied. You're still, it's a problem. You know, but otherwise, if, you know, in, you know, our community meetings, if anybody could get close to this, we would be thinking, wow, this is good. You know. But the point is it doesn't. So the whole thing is what is it thought about? The point is then we say, but if we take up Krishna consciousness, we want that, we'll lose all this. That means because you're Krishna conscious, then the lady doesn't come and, you know, clean the clothes and stuff like that. But it's not about having that or the prestige of that, or the wife won't deal nicely with it. It says here, what did it say? In a solitary place. How much time of a day or a week is that? Right? So if one's always thinking about that, you waste your life. If you're thinking about Krishna, then when those moments are there, that interaction is there. It doesn't change. You don't lose anything. What you gain is actually the value of your life. Because these are secondary things. These are just, these happen anyway. You eat, you know, your stomach gets full. You eat prasad, your stomach still gets full. You know, you think of Krishna while you eat, your stomach still gets full. You know? You understand? These things happen anyway, but that's the idea, is that if I'm Krishna conscious, these won't happen. Because the only reason it happens is because I'm so attached to it. But it's not, actually. It's not. That's the fun part. Prahlad Maharaj continued. If a person too attached to the duties of family maintenance is unable to control his senses, the core of his heart is immersed in how to accumulate money, although he knows that one who takes the wealth of others will be punished by the law of the government and by the laws of Yamaraj after death, he continues cheating others to acquire money. footnote 29. Srila Prabhupada writes, despite whatever knowledge one has, one cannot stop his sinful activities if he is unable to control the senses. Right? So the sinful won't stop unless you control the senses. The senses won't be controlled unless you, how you say, unless there's that determination. That comes from proper intelligence, proper association. Right? And then having, how you say, that can improve the quality of things, but it actually won't stop unless you get the blessings of the spiritual master and Krishna. Right? When you get the blessings of the Vaishnavas and Krishna, then these things can stop. Then we have that determination. How do we get that? Right? That's by identifying ourselves as servant. And so when we identify ourselves as servant of the spiritual, that's why it said constantly we keep seeing. Ruhugana talks, Jarabara talks about this, Prahlad Maharaj talks about it, everybody talks about it, that until you've gotten the blessings of the devotee, then the spiritual life's not going to take off. Right? So what does that mean? That means, therefore, that surrender, that identity, that trying to be Krishna conscious, following the instructions, that's the real thing. If that's there, everything else will come. By Krishna's grace, then we can do this. But you have to do the one, then all these other will come.
Mm-hmm. Tathato.
Yeah. Yes, the tathato. Yes. Yeah. Tomorrow morning. Oh, my friends, sons of demons. And the fun part is he's telling this also to five-year-olds. You know, because we'll say, oh, you can't talk of this to five-year-olds. But that's the fun part, is you can tell it to them, they'll understand. Right? You know, because for them, there's no issue. So, oh, okay, it's like that. Then, you know, then they'll come up later. So does that mean you don't do this? No, you can explain and balance it. So the point is they have the knowledge, and then you balance it as time goes. Okay. That's the part. It's actually easier to tell five-year-olds this stuff than it is to tell adults. Sad, but true. Oh, my friends, oh sons of demons, in this mature world, even those who are apparently advanced in education have the propensity to consider, quote, this is mine and that is for others, end quote. Thus, they are always engaged in providing the necessities of life to their families in a limited conception of family life. Just like uneducated cats and dogs, they are unable to take to spiritual knowledge. Instead, they are bewildered and overcome by ignorance. So, even though they're so knowledgeable, they still can't act differently than the cats and dogs. The cats and dogs will look at it, this is mine, and that's others. You know, it's just like, I don't know, you ever seen it? I've seen it a lot here in India because of the space. When you're out in the villages and that, you have, you know, there's always something. And there's always a bunch of dogs, right? They're the village dogs. And this is their place, right? You know? And they're chasing something. A cat, another dog, a jackal, you know, you name it. They're chasing it. And they'll be running so fast. And then there's suddenly a particular line and they just stop there. Exactly. And then they just stand there and bark, you know. As long as the other dog stays on the other side, better he keeps running, but, you know, at least he stays some way and looks humble. Then, but they won't cross the line. Because this is ours, that's theirs. So as long as it's in here, we take care of it, and what's over there, we couldn't care of it. Like that. So that's the point, is even though we're so educated, we still end up doing the same thing. So that's sad. So having so much intelligence, having so much thing, wants you to do something special for Krishna. That's the point. Srila Prabhupada comments. In human society, there are attempts to educate the human being. But for animal society, there's no such system. Nor are animals able to be educated. Therefore, animals and unintelligent men are called vimudha, or ignorant, bewildered. Whereas an educated man is called vidvan. The real vidvan is one who tries to understand his own position within this material world. So, you have those who are educated, but those who are really educated, then they try to understand their position in the world. And then more educated than that is understand their relationship with the Lord. So that's the topmost of that. Verses 17 to 30. Krishna bhakti is beyond dharma. kama, artha, and moksha. Material education is infected by the three modes of nature, but spiritual education, for which there is a great need in human society, is transcendental. Prahlad Maharaj disclosed the secret of how he had received instructions from Narad Muni. By accepting the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj, who is in the parampara succession, one will be able to understand the mode of spiritual life. In accepting this mode of activity, there is no need for material qualifications. Prahlad Maharaj continued, "My dear friends, O sons of the demons, it is certain that no one bereft of knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been able to liberate himself from material bondage at any time or in any country. Rather, those bereft of knowledge of the Lord are bound by the material law." So if you don't have knowledge of Krishna, then there's no question of not being bound by the laws of nature. That's just a given. That's guaranteed. Like that. So there's no one has, with material knowledge and that, risen above the modes of nature. They are factually addicted to sense gratification, and their target is women. Indeed, they are actually playthings in the hands of attractive women. And so that's the thing. They want to enjoy, but at the same time they're controlled by. That's the fun part. Victimized by such a conception of life, they become surrounded by children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and thus they are shackled to material bondage. Those who are very much addicted to this conception of life are called demons. Therefore, although you are sons of demons, keep aloof from such persons and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, the origin of all the demigods, because the ultimate goal for the devotees of Narayana is liberation from the bondage of material existence. Footnote 30. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 18 to Bhagavad Arkamichi Mala, chapter 14, entitled Analysis of Unfavorable Conditions for Bhakti, Bhakti Pratikula Vichara, which is in the Abhideya section of the book. So therefore he's saying, keep aloof from such persons. Right? Because of attachment to all these material things, that will get in the way of bhakti. Okay. So avoiding that, avoiding bad association, that will be... That, you know, in other words, bad association is bad for bhakti. Therefore, the other way is good association will be enhanced bhakti.
Mark?
Yes.
Great devotees like Prahlad, he's preaching, and it's just so straightforward. He's not concerned about the social, you know, what people will think.
No.
It's just this is.
Because the point is, it's just like this. Why are people concerned about what? I mean, what's the concern about what people think?
What they'll think of us.
Yes, then we'll lose something.
Prestige.
Yeah, prestige and things like that. But the point is even if it's just like this, are societies in the world who are not thought of badly, are they doing well? Are people joining them and all this? No. So the point is that doesn't matter. So it's my only personal thing that I'm worried about. That's just how I'll feel if they say that to me. Because the point is the truth is truth, and people who are honest and intelligent will catch it. And the people who will get bent out of shape by it, we have nothing to do with them anyway. And they're going to think whatever they think anyway. Even if we don't do anything, they don't know what we do. So they're going to think bad anyway. We look different. So even if we look the same as them, will we look the same as them? Are we ever going to be accepted by the Boston Brahmins? No, we don't even know what shirt to wear. How many devotees have you seen wearing a karmi shirt, button-down collar? You wear. How many others do you know? Used to. How many do you know? Right? Hardly anybody. That's just the shirt. And then what about the pants? What about the shoes? Have you seen any devotees wearing loafers but no socks? Right? But that's what you're supposed to do. You know, if it's a formal occasion, but if it's casual. So they'll always know that you're from a common, low-class background. They'll always know that. So they couldn't care less. Even you're out there and you're Mr. Smiley, you're still a low-class guy, and they'll be nice to you because that's what they do. But in their minds, you're just white trash like everybody else. It doesn't matter what you do. So the whole point is, so why bother? We are who we are. We do what we do. The point is we should become who we are, follow the culture that we're supposed to do, instead of saying the Vedic doesn't have any culture. Oh, there's nothing. I heard one senior devotee say, come to India, there's nothing I can learn from these people. Because he only sees the guys outside the Calcutta, airport, all those guys there, like that, trying to catch him on the way to the car. And then he sees the guys outside the front gate. And maybe he sees a maid come in and clean the room. So he's never seen Indian gentlemen.
Yes.
So to make such a comment, it's like, it's totally uneducated, totally uncultured. But, that's what it is. So, therefore, there's nothing we can gain from all this is not what Prabhupada talks about, it's not going on anymore. It's all going on. You just have to know how to see it.
Is it fair to say that this tendency to accommodate is based on one's own insecurities?
One's own insecurities and one's own attachment. Because the point is if we follow our own culture and behave as Prabhupada taught us, to behave nicely and deal nicely and all that, people are looking for answers.
We've already seen in the history of Islam that it works.
It works. It always works. I remember when the West was saying, you can't do all this stuff, and the gurus and all this and that, and it's all bad, and it's not going to work, and that, like in the 80s, the mid-80s, when there's all the whole jumping up and down and all this and that, and all that, and then you had the glasnost in Russia and all that. So then the devotees that were over there, they just preached and went in just like they did in the 70s and 60s. And immediately, in a very short time, a few years, they have 100 centers, they got tens of thousands of devotees. And so then, it was like, I remember Rabindraji was then going to, what's going on? What are they doing? And so he went over there to check what's going on. And he came back and he said to the GBC, he says, they have faith in Guru. And so he says, maybe we should, call it the year of the Guru and everybody should try it out again. So that's the thing, is that they had, the West had new bhaktas that every temple president in America knew that new bhakta. And he'd been a new bhakta for the last 12 years and he'd been in all the temples. In fact, it was interesting. I was sitting there and got, someone mentioned something about that. Oh, he's in your temple now. Like that. And they all laughing and joking. Like that. There's nothing. So the process always works. Because the idea is if I'm doing it, it's not working, then it can never work. Rather than, no. Krishna said, Prabhupada said, the acharyas, they're doing it, it works. That's the whole point. Is that we'll say, no, but times have changed. No, we've changed maybe, but time is Krishna. How can you say time is changed? Time is Krishna. Like that, the modes and nature of Krishna. It's foolish. There's nothing else to say. You can say all kinds of nice stuff and have reasons and this and that, which is fine. And we try to accommodate and this and that. But bottom line, it's just our own attachments, our own misgivings. Point is that's why it's said it's eternal. It always works. Because otherwise, if we're saying Prabhupada was what, in the 60s, 70s, then that's 40 years ago, 50 years ago, and things are so changed. How old is this? Right? This is in the first Kalpa. So we're talking about 150 trillion years ago, and it's still valuable. People follow Prahlad Maharaj's instructions today, and they work.
But up until 50 years ago, times didn't change.
Only since then, yes. Why is that? Because I've been.
How they should dress.
Huh?
He didn't talk about how they should dress and what they should eat.
No, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about faith in Guru. That's what I want to talk about. You talk about eating whatever you want. Where's the faith in Guru? Let's discuss that point. Because who cares what they eat? Who cares what someone dresses in? Like that. Yes. A little bit louder.
There's a nice example in this context that I should have thought about. The Socrates early disciples were the ones that were rich with confidence, and I had the example of Charlie Chaplin, because there was this movie where Charlie Chaplin sat down and his jacket ripped.
Yes, yes.
And he jumped up and he started dancing with lots of enthusiasm, and everyone copied him.
Yes, that's the whole point. There was a time, because we were really, you know, going for it and all that, and it's like you say in Bhagawan, they were into, you know, kind of the more, you know, looking, how you say,
being
sophisticated, like that. That there was a time for 6 months, only 6 months, that dhotis were in fashion on the Karmi market. You know, not straight flat, they were sewn, so you just put them on like pants. But for 6 months, they were in fashion by those on the cutting edge of fashion. It didn't filter down into your common street guys, but, you know, the guys are always on the forward fashion. They, you know, dhotis were in. So the whole point is that if we do it, people will take it. You know? So that's the whole thing. We do it, then you know, it works. That's the point, yes. And whose house were they staying in? Yes. You name me one hippie in America who could accomplish that. One. Only need one name. And here's a bunch of, you know, guys that Prabhupada sends off that. They're staying in their house, hosted by them, not living out in the back lot, you know, like that, squatting out there in their tent. They're actually hosted by them. You know? And what was his name? Lennon, he used to sit at the piano and sing Hare Krishna for hours, you know? Like that. You know, so so that's what we can do if you just do it. If you try to do all this other stuff, yes, be sophisticated, be this, but there's nothing more sophisticated than the Vedic culture. What Prahlad Maharaj calls here a gross materialist, by us would be our material dream, if we could ever attain that. And he's already just saying, you know, those guys, when you look in the barrel, they're down on the bottom. You know, and we're sitting there, you know, squashed under the barrel, looking up and going, you know, with hands folded, you know. You know, yeah. You know, like that. So the whole point is that if you follow, it's whatever you want material, it's already there. Yeah? I think that I know of, peanuts come from China. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's part of the tradition to use peanuts in the cooking and this and that. It's not a new thing. Is that okay?
Thank you very much.
Okay. Oh. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitāi Gaura Prema Nandini.